in chapters 10 and 11. You know, throughout this book, I've had some interesting things. What happened after the sixth seal was broken? Do you remember? We had a whole chapter of parentheses, didn't we? Between the sixth and seventh seal, we had chapter 7. The sixth seal is the last part of chapter 6. Then we come to two great companies of saved people in chapter 7. When we start chapter 8, we got the seventh seal. Well, look what we got. We turn up with a bunch of trumpets that are blowing. And six trumpets are blown. Let's see if we can find it. And the sixth trumpet, verse 14, the sixth angel, which had a trumpet, loose before him in the Euphrates. We come down to the end, verse 21, and what do we find? We find another one of these parentheses or interludes or regression from the order of things between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. The sixth trumpet sounded. Where does the seventh trumpet sound? Verse 15 of chapter 11. And the seventh angel sounded. Okay? So we've got an interlude here or an intermission or a parenthesis from chapters 10:1 through 11:13. Chapters 10:1 through 11:13. Let's look see what he's talking about. Now, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head. His face was as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Pretty big angel. Cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them up. An angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hands of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went to the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. He said unto me, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. It was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And there was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise, measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. And the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God, for the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth the enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people of the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And the earthquake, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. And the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly, and the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple, the Ark of the Testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. All right. But you see, through verse 13, 10:1 to 11:13 is an interlude, an intermission, a gap, so to speak, in the story, a break between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet sound. Now, the first time that happened, we saw a great company of saved people. This time, we see an angel and two witnesses. That's what the story is about. Now, let's see if we can get from there. Now, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. John's position here looks like he's on the earth. At this time, in chapter 10, it looks like he's on the earth, and the angel's coming down to the earth from heaven. All right? Remember over there, he puts one foot on the land, one foot on the sea. So John's position in what he sees from here is the position of earth instead of heaven. All right? This angel was clothed with a cloud, had a rainbow upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Isn't he majestic? Absolutely. And we're going to be as the angels of God in heaven? Wow. I mean, we find old John falling down to worship some of these angels, and then nothing but some of the prophets that have gone on. Tremendous. The beauty and the power, the glory. So he has a rainbow around about his head. He's clothed with a cloud. His face, as it were, the sun. His feet as pillars of fire. As he stood out there, it'd be like, here are these two pillars of fire coming down out of the cloud. You go up through the clouds, and above the clouds, you see this huge body, this torso here, his face and the sun with a rainbow over the top of it. That's a picture, isn't it? He had in his hand a little book open. Well, it would have been an awful little book if it were a Bible, wouldn't it? In something that big. If a man were that big, his face was the sun, and his one foot was on the sea, and one foot was on the land, and he's dressed in the clouds, that book would be awful small in his hands, wouldn't it? That's right. He had a little book. And it was open. Hey, it's an open book. What did we find when we saw the little book in Revelation before? Chapter 5, it was a closed book. Everybody's crying because it was a closed book. Well, here, this angel comes down at this time, and it's an open book. Praise the Lord for an open book. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Now, that's a trick. You can do it. Okay. And he cried with a loud voice. Have you noticed how many of God's men cry with loud voices? I've been picked on over the years a few places I've been because I was too loud. You're just too loud. You're just too loud. Somebody said to me, they said, you don't know what all they've said about you. I said, man, I've been said about by my best friends, much less my enemies. shoot. Worry about what somebody said about you. Spell your name right. Just make sure they give you good advertising. He cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. Roar! Now, you get the picture? Again, we're dealing with a vision. When he cried, seven thunders, uttered their voices. Here's another seven, isn't it? Aren't we dealing with sevens all through? Isn't it interesting how sevens keep cropping up in this book? Here, seven thunders uttered their voices. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. You know what Revelation is? It is not a sealed book. It is an open book. This is the only part of Revelation that's sealed. You know what it says in Deuteronomy 29:29? If you don't look. Deuteronomy 29:29 talks about certain things. You know how you want to know all those things that you don't know? It says the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed, they belong unto us. Now, here we are in a book that's revealing things, and we come upon these seven thunders uttering their voices, and John's about to write the message. Do you remember when Daniel was told things about the end time, and he got ready to write it, and the angel said, no, shut that up till the end time. You know what I think Daniel was going to write? The book of Revelation. And God didn't have Daniel to write it, he had John to write it. It wasn't time to understand the book of Revelation yet. They needed to have Christ come first, and then we could have John write the book of Revelation. So Daniel saw it, was going to write it, and God said, no, you can't write it, he sealed it up. Well, you think, okay, everything's revealed now. No, it's not. We got seven thunders. Whatever they said hadn't been revealed. It's been hidden. God's still got some secrets, even in the book of Revelation. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever, who created heaven and earth, things that are therein are, and the earth, the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now, maybe this is the answer to chapter 6, verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 10, what do we find? And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? No more time. I'm going to answer it. No more delay. There'll be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, we haven't finished out with the book of Revelation yet, and we haven't got to the seven vials yet. And yet it says here, and I've got something I can bring up a little later on this, but it says here, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. Now, there's some verses I want to give you on this chapter here, on this verse, verse 7. Romans 16, 25 and 26. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and verses following. Ephesians 3, 3 in the verses following. Colossians 1, 25 through 28. I'll give them to you again. Romans 16, 25 and 26. Romans 16, 25 and 26. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and following. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and following. Ephesians 3, 3 and following. Ephesians 3, 3 and following. Colossians 1, 25 through 28. Colossians 1, 25 through 28. Now, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth on the sea and upon the earth. I went up to the angel and said, Give me the little book. How'd you like to walk up to that big man? Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up. Say, Ezekiel eats the book. John eats the book. Eats two of them. They got some little books to eat. Hey, what would you do with the word of God? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they are the joy and rejoicing of my heart. To make thy belly bitter, it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Ah, the sweetness of the word of God and the promises of God, and sometimes the bitterness of the patience to wait and to endure and to come through the promises of God. Yes, the victory. Took a little book out of the angel's hand, ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, he does this in chapters 13, 17, and 19, John does. Now, on time, some good verses on time. We're looking at... Yes, he does so in chapters 13, 17, and 19. We're looking at time. Look, if you will, at some verses. Chapter 11 and verse 2. It says 40 and 2 months. How long is 40 and 2 months? 3.5 years. All right, look at verse 3. 1,260 days. How much is 1,260 days? 3.5 years. Look at chapter 12 and verse 6. 1,260 days. 3.5 years. Look at chapter 12 and verse 14. A time, times, and a half a time. 3.5 years. A year, years, and a half a year. 3.5 years. Chapter 13 and verse 5. 42 months. How long is 42 months? 3.5 years. Now, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with 3.5 year period, isn't it? All right. 3.5 is half a seven. Some things are going to happen in the first 3.5, some things are going to happen in the last 3.5, and many, many differed on what's going to happen when. As to when certain things take place, which 3.5 it's talking about, it's the first 3.5 of the tribulation or the last half 3.5 of the tribulation. But at any rate, you are dealing with 2 3.5s, and you are dealing with 1/2 of the tribulation period. So if you can put them all of them on one side, and then the other on the other, that's fine. You know, it's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with 2 3.5, it's a 7-year period. What we see in the book of the tribulation, book of the Revelation, is the great tribulation period. It's Daniel's 70th week. It's a 7-year period. All right. Now, on chapter 11, and by the way, that the last half of Daniel's 7th year, 7-year period, is Daniel 9:2. I'll give you a reference you can check out also. You can check in the prophet Ezekiel, chapters 40 through 48. And this is generally accepted to be the millennial Jerusalem, the Jerusalem during the millennium, Ezekiel 40 through 48 in the temple that's there. Some passages that would go along with this, and we ought to look these up. Zephaniah 2, 1 and 2. Linda, you look that up and read it to us. And Steve, read Isaiah 66, 1 through 4. And Tim, read Isaiah 28, 14 through 22. Isaiah 28, 14 through 22. 66, 1 through 4. Isaiah 66, 1 through 4. Zephaniah 2, 1 and 2. 28, 14 through 22. This chapter 11 here, that was giving me a reed like on the rod. The angel said, Rise, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Yeah. Look in your index in the front. Zephaniah. It's in the minor prophet. It's after Hosea and before Matthew. Habakkuk. 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 Zephaniah 2, 1 and 2. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. All right. This is a day of trouble. Tribulation period is a day of tremendous trouble. It's the wrath of God. And they're gathering to it. All right, Isaiah 66, 1 through 4.
Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my foot. Where the house is built unto me, and where is the place of my throne? For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been. This man will I look, even to him, poor, and I will contrite the assembly of my.
That verse is 1 through 4.
He that killed an oxen, that he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb, and this he cut off the dog's neck.
Now think about that a minute. He got worship. They're doing all the right things, but look how they're doing it. Like just cutting off a dog's tail or something, see, rather than offering a sacrifice unto God. Go ahead.
He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine flesh. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusion, and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not.
Judgment of God is going to come. It's going to come sometime on his own people then. All right? Tim, you had 28, 14 to 22. Okay. Consumption determined upon the whole earth. All right. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel said, rise, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, 3.5 years. But I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now, several things come up here. Who are the two witnesses? A lot of people think it's Enoch. Some think it's Enoch and Elijah. I think it's Moses and Elijah. Look at Matthew 17:3. You find Moses and Elijah, Mount of Transfiguration. There's several other reasons for that, but God is never without a witness. And here are his witnesses in the midst of this time, at least 3.5 years. First part of the, I think it's the first part of the tribulation, first part of the 7 years. I'll give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now, these are the two olive trees. Now, we think about the oil, the Holy Spirit. There's a couple of verses to go along with that. Zechariah 4, 2 and 3. 2, 3, 6, and 11 through 14. Zechariah chapter 4. Let's read these. Zechariah chapter 4. These are the two olive trees. And, you know, olive trees, what do? They put out oil. And oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So these are the two olive trees. These are two spirit-filled men giving forth the message. What does Zechariah 4, 2, and 3 say, Dan?
And said unto me, what seest thou? I said, I have looked, and behold, all gold, with the gold upon the top, and seven types of trees, two olive trees, by one upon the right side.
Okay. Now read verse 6.
And he answered and said unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto you, for the Egypt.
Okay, 11 through 14.
Then answered I, and said unto him, what are these two olive trees?
And notice what it says there. It said to the mountains and rocks, is verse 16 of 6. Okay, 11 through 14.
Then answered I, and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the left side? And answered again, and said unto him, what be these two olive branches? These are two golden pipes, which is the golden oil. I answered him, and said, knowest thou not what these be? And said, then said he, these are the two anointed ones, stand by the Lord.
Okay. Now, I think this is a prophecy of these people we're talking about. I think it's talking about Moses and Elijah. I think we're talking about the tribulation period. And these are the two that came to Jesus, the Mount of Transfiguration. I think the reason why James and John couldn't sit on the right and left of Jesus is because that's the same for Moses and Elijah. Anyway, whatever. So these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, they're the two candlesticks. Candlestick was a thing of witness. There are two candlesticks here. Two olive trees, two candlesticks. They take the place of the church and the Holy Spirit as God's testimony on the earth. The church is gone, been raptured out. Jews as a nation have not necessarily come to God as yet. They are standing out there as the witness, and they begin to witness against the Antichrist or whatever. They're God's testimony. Now, notice how they work. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth the enemy. And if any man will hurt them, He must this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Have power over waters to turn into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now, what prophets in the Old Testament ever did these things? Enoch ever did anything like that? That's right. What did Moses do? I'll tell you what. He stopped rivers, he turned them into blood, and he brought fire down from heaven. What did Elijah do? He called fire down from heaven to burn up his enemies. He stopped the rain. Got a drought, man. It didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. Hey, how long was that? How long was that it didn't rain? 3 years and 6 months, wasn't it? Isn't that amazing? It's interesting, isn't it? Moses and Elijah, it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And they're going to kill the enemies. Nobody can stop them. I think what you've got is a return of Moses and Elijah to the earth. A couple of passages can go along with that verse 6. 1 Kings 17:1, chapter 18, verse 1, 2 Kings 1:10, 2 Kings 1:10. All right, you can check those out, but you're dealing with the prophets there. Now, they're going to turn water to blood. That's what Moses did, wasn't it? They're going to smite the earth with plague. That's what Moses did, wasn't it? And somebody comes after them. Why, fire is going to come out of them and kill them. Sounds like Moses and Elijah anyway. So, verse 7 says, and when they shall have finished their testimony. Hey, I want you to think about something. Just a thought on this one little verse here. They will finish their testimony. He says, and when they shall have finished their testimony. You know what that tells me? They're going to finish it. You couldn't stop them if you wanted to. All the demons out of hell couldn't stop these two men till they finish. Every servant of God is immortal till his work is done. Every servant of God is immortal until his work is done. Interesting thought. All right, when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, that's the Antichrist, shall make war against them and shall kill them, now overcome them and kill them. Can you imagine that? Here are these two men that stand up against everybody, and God lets them be killed. You ever thought about old James getting beheaded in the prison, and Peter not? James dying as a martyr in the early part of the church, and his brother John writes the last book. Why does God do some of the things he does? Here are these two men who've destroyed people with fire. They are miraculous. They are immortal. They cannot be killed. And you know what happens? They get overcome and killed. Now, these two witnesses prophesy during the first half of the tribulation, and they're killed by the beast, and this sets him up in the eyes of the whole world. When the beast, Antichrist, is able to kill these two prophets have been giving the world a hard time. When he kills them, this sets him up. And so what do? They take their dead bodies and just let them lay in the street. But, you know, one thing about this little book, it gives you a whole lot of answers. We may not know everything there, but, boy, we sure do know a whole lot. He says, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, do you know what's spiritually called Sodom and Egypt? It's Jerusalem. Where do they die? They die in Jerusalem. Can it be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem? Oh, me. All sorts of scriptures will fit in with some of these things sometimes, won't they? All right. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in grave. Now, how are they going to do that? Well, I think television will be going strong. Stronger than it's ever been before. I can see the camera zooming in on him. There's Elijah's face. Do you see him there? You see the flies gathering around him, locking guard, beginning to turn black. Look at there. Oh, isn't that a great new leader? Look how he killed him. Do you see that? Oh, let's get another picture of that. Commentator, would you come in and tell us something about the lives of these fellows and how they ended up where they are? And the world's going to be just happy as can be. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts one another. Sounds like it must be at Christmas time. At least like Christmas, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. They didn't like them. Have you ever noticed how people don't like you knocking on their door? Have you ever noticed how preachers are not the most popular fellows in town? Has it ever occurred to you that the world really doesn't love preachers of the gospel? They despise preachers. Some of them they fear, but they despise preachers. It's not the most popular profession. Faithful. Boy, when they kill these two prophets, and these are not just the regular preachers. These aren't the normal pastor of First Church, you know, that's in on the councils and stuff like that and driving his Cadillac with his benefits. This isn't the normal run-of-the-mill preacher. These guys are prophets that kill their enemies. Hey, what happened to do good to your enemies? Pray for them which despitefully use you. It's not working right here. I mean, these are two of the men of God, and what are they doing? They're bringing destruction to anybody around them. Until the Antichrist comes up to them and he kills them. Okay. After 3 days and a half, three and a half, did you notice that? 3.5 years, 3.5 days, 3 years, 6 months, 42 months. It's amazing how that thing comes up. 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them that saw it. I can imagine. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you've done seen those dead bodies lying in the streets with the flies crawling all over them, you know, and the television camera's been zooming in on them and getting face pictures and back pictures and review pictures and commentators have been talking about them. You've been watching them 3.5 days, and all of a sudden, they stand up. They're alive and well. You talk about Inner Sanctum. You talk about horror movies. You talk about some scary things. People going to have nightmares that night. Some people aren't going to sleep that night. All right, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. Sounds like another rapture, doesn't it? Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Great fear came upon them, but they had to just watch them go up to heaven. Same hour was there a great earthquake. The 10th part of the city fell. In the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. Isn't that amazing? 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. There were three woes to follow, remember? Three woes to follow. The seventh angel is the third woe. Verse 15. Well, let me give you a verse on verse 14. The second woe is past, behold, the third woe cometh quickly. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 13. Revelation 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 13. Revelation 13. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. Let's look back for a minute at the end of chapter 6. And notice what it says there. It said to the mountains and rocks, in verse 16 of 6, all those hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand. And then chapter 8, seventh seal, angels, prayers, smoke, incense, seven angels prepared to sound, mingle with blood. All right. Great day of his wrath has come, verse 17. Okay. It says here, the kingdoms of this world are become. Now notice again, it's verse 15. It's after all of this, but it's right in the middle of the book. The kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders were set before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast, art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry. Now, what happens? There's five things right here. Number one, the nations were angry. Number two, thy wrath has come. Number three, the time of the dead, they should be judged. Number four, thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, to thy saints, them that fear thy name, small and great. Number five, thou shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And, verse 19, the temple of God was opened in heaven. That's a literal temple. There was seen in this temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunders and earthquakes and great hail. Let me give you some verses. On the nations, verse 18, the nations, Psalm 2, Psalm 83, Joel 3:9, Zechariah 14:24. Psalm 2, Psalm 83, Joel 3:9, Zechariah 14:24. And then on thy wrath is come, chapter 16, verse 1. Yeah, Revelation 16, 1. Then in verse 19, on the temple of God, it being a literal temple, Hebrews 8, 5, Hebrews 8, 5, Hebrews 9, 22, Hebrews 9, 22, Revelation 15, 5 through 8. Revelation 15, 5 through 8. Any questions? Yes, sir. Well, there's an interesting thing, see. Some people are going to get killed twice, like Moses will, but Elijah won't. When was Elijah killed? That's right. That's the first death for Elijah. He went to heaven in a whirlwind. The chariot of God separated. Now, Moses dies, but see, there are a lot of men that have died twice. You're not thinking clear. Lazarus died twice, physically. And a lot of the funerals he broke up, he stopped some of them, they died twice, physically. And as far as that goes, this is the third trip for Elijah. John the Baptist was Elijah, which was for to come. What it said? Jesus said so. You've been looking for Elijah?
John the Baptist was Elijah. He's already come. You didn't receive him. So, we got some interesting things in here, but there's more than one fellow that dies twice. How many people ever walked on the water?
You're right.
How many times did Peter walk on the water?
No.
He walked out and fell, and then he walked back to the boat.
That's unless he wasn't carried.
He wasn't carried. He wasn't carried. I believe it says they walked back to the boat. But at any rate. All right. Any other questions? Okay. Anybody else got a question? I had an interesting thing. I'll just have to say that. It's a little late. It'll take me a little while to carry it through.